Welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cardi Robinson, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And here's a question for you, team, from Miss Julia Alton.
I find difficulty buying shoes as I have big feet. What clothes do members of the team have difficulty in buying because something's too big?
I find difficulty. Oh, yes.
All right, wait for it, team. Miss Julia Alton says she finds difficulty buying shoes because, she says, she has big feet. What clothes do members of the team have difficulty in buying because something's too big?
Well, that leaves Arthur out of this question, doesn't it?
I don't know. It depends what the something is.
I find difficulty buying trousers. It's not so much the size, it's the length for me. I've got very long legs. All, everything on me is too long. Long legs, please.
Like your act.
Yeah.
And your act.
Well, I find that trousers, if I buy them ready-made, the crotch comes between my knees.
You look like a chimpanzee.
Well, I am a chimpanzee. What are you talking about?
But that's funny, Arthur, because the crotch with cardio comes under his arm.
I'll tell you, if I buy trousers that are big enough for me behind, I look as if I've got mumps in front.
Mumps?
Wouldn't it be marvellous?
Oh, dear.
Wouldn't it be marvellous if we were all a standard size? Because as a kid at school, they used to call me Big Ed, and it used to upset me. And I went home to my mother one day, and I said, all the boys at school are calling me Big Ed. She said, don't worry, love, you've not got a big head. Now, you content yourself. You've not got a big head. Now, will you do Mummy a favour? Go to the greengrocer's and get 2 stone of potatoes. I said, all right, Mummy. Shall I take a basket? She said, no, bring it back in your cap.
Now, let's get back to Miss Julia Alton. Now, you say you've got big feet.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you know, you're a tall girl, aren't you?
I am.
You're a tall girl. Now, what size are your shoes? May I ask you that?
They're 8.
Pardon?
They're 8.
8?
Yes. Is that 8?
Well, what's wrong with that? You look silly with 3s. I know a woman who goes into it. No, she went into the shop, and the fellow said, what size, madam? She says, well, I take 3s, but 4s are so comfortable, I'll have 5s. So comfort is the main thing, not the size of your plates.
Jimmy, have you ever bought anything off the peg?
There are 1 or 2 shops in London, fortunately, who have got this in mind, that there are people who aren't midgets like this lot here. I mean, I'm large all over, really. I have...
Boasting again.
I have...
You've got a bigger rump than the polo pony.
I have 11 shoes. I wear 11 shoes.
11 shoes? How odd? I should have thought it was 12.
But I take size 11 shoes. I have a 46 chest, I think it is.
Have you ever worn a corset?
No,
well,
sir.
I tell you something. Now, you'll never believe this, but 3 weeks ago, I walked into the washroom, into the shower room at my golf club, and a fella came in there, and he took off his shirt, and he had a woman's girdle underneath. And I said, Fred, how long have you been wearing a girdle? He said, ever since the wife found it in the back of the car.
But it is true. As a matter of fact, there is a fashion, you won't believe this.
Because his wife thought that, you know...
Just a minute! There is a fashion amongst hunting people particularly, right?
I never hunt people.
And
only women.
There is a fashion, I'll try to continue. There is a fashion, you're talking about men wearing women's clothes, there's a fashion amongst hunting people for wearing tights. You know, what you call them?
Principal boy stuff.
I know what you mean.
No, not those. No, thin ones that
tights.
Ladies wear now.
Tights.
Yes.
Tights.
And because they're apparently terribly warm.
Yeah.
But the embarrassing thing is, if you want to, you know...
Getting back to shoes.
Getting back to shoes.
Miss Julia Alton, your shoes, I mean, you've got to forget this, you know. You've really got to forget this business about the big feet. Because, as I said before, you look silly with 3s. You see, ladies get very embarrassed when they go into these stores, being helped to try on shoes by some salesman. And this fellow was bald-headed, you see. And you know, this lady sat down for him to try the shoes on. She put a skirt over his head 3 times, thought it was her knee.
Thank you, team, very much. And thank you, Julia Alton. Thank you very much. Mr. Robert Kent takes his seat. Here's his question.
Would any member of the team be ashamed to repeat now the act he performed in his very first professional show?
I think they do. Would any member of the team be ashamed to repeat now the act he performed in his very first professional show?
I take exception straight away, Mr. Chairman, to your remark. I was never ashamed of my act. I'm not ashamed of it now. It's the same. It's only 25 years since I first walked onto the stage at the Windmill Theatre wearing bicycle clips and spats.
I thought you were nude at the Windmill.
The ladies were nude, but we used to scratch a bare living. The question is about first professional performance. I mean, I did a lot of amateur work at Cambridge and
you
in
still
the Air
do,
Force.
Jason. You don't tell me they're going to pay for that rubbish.
I love you too, Ray. Can you remember the first time you ever got paid to perform? That's what the question is about. Where was your first professional engagement?
At the Palace Theatre Prescott, and I went in for a tournament, a competition. It was a tournament. It was a fight with the audience, and I was paid 5 shillings. And the fellow said to me, go across the road and you'll find a man with a red rose in his coat. That's Gar Kiddy, the biggest agent in Widnes. Big deal. Now, this is true. I walked across the road. I said, Mr. Kiddy, should I have that honour? What about that for a big head? I said, would you like a drink, sir? He said, I could force down a double scotch. I said, don't do me any favour. He drank all my 5 bob's worth and I walked home. I thought, this is show business. I'm going back to work.
One of the first professional things I remember when I first came to London, I was doing concerts and I got a guinea at a post office concert.
Guinea.
And the programme was sort of Ronio'd. And I can remember it said, Miss Cissy Armstrong, Bird of Love Divine, Mr. Bill Woodward, Sorting Department, The Bandolero. And it had all these down and at the bottom in brackets it said, A. ASCII, professional.
Mr. Kent, did you ever see any of these gentlemen perform their first acts, perhaps, earlier?
Well, of course, I've grown up with this lot. I must have seen...
Except me, I've never grown up.
I must have seen some of their very early performances. Now, Mr. Robinson, I chiefly remember, though, on the wireless, but, of course, the crystal kept... breaking down. We had trouble there.
Got friends everywhere.
You're going to get bitchy, are you?
Mr. Ray, I've got an idea. I did see you once do an act under some other name other than Ted Ray.
Well, I turned my name backwards. It was older. No, it still is. O-L-D-E-N. I made myself Nedlow, the gypsy violinist. And believe me, I was a tremendous success. I had my mother's curtain rings in my ears. Honestly.
On all 24 of them.
And one through his nose.
Yeah, and I can remember one of his early press cuttings. It said, we hope Mr. Ted Ray will stay in Birmingham forever. It was in the Manchester Guardian.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Mr. Robert Kent. Thank you. And here, team, comes a question from Miss Kerry Bryant. Hello, Kerry. Welcome to the programme. Let's hear your question.
Have the members of the team ever taken any examinations, and what were the results?
Horrible. Have the members of the team ever taken any examinations, and what were the results?
Take exception again, Mr. Chairman, your interpolation.
Oh, dear.
Thank you.
Carry on.
I had a medical examination once, and they looked at me and said, don't mess about card, you'll go back and get your body.
And he said, I can't, it's all in the wife's name. Not bad, not bad, not good, but not bad.
It was like a cocktail party, all running around with those little glasses.
I'm matriculated, but they made me clean it up. That's an examination, isn't it?
Well, I had an examination, a medical examination, when I had a lovely voice as a boy soprano. In fact, I sang soprano so long, people were beginning to talk. That is the joke, but this is true. And one night in the choir, I was saying, oh, for the wigs, for the wigs.
I like
and my mother, and then I was cracking all over the place. So
doing what?
Cracking. My mother took me along to the doctor and said, I think that Arthur's strained his voice or something. The doctor examined me
or
and
something.
He said, he's becoming a man.
And you never made it, did
I
you?
Don't know what went wrong, but I never made it, did you? How to be a straight man,
it ain't
easy lesson.
Well, I took an examination. I'm sure this is not what Miss Seri? Kerry?
Kerry.
Kerry. C-E-R-I, is that right?
Cherry, you look a peach to me.
No, Kerry.
Really? That's
a Kerry. Oh, that's the sound
like
of the
Kerry. Well, anyway.
That's the voice I was telling you about.
Lovely. And, You know something, Kerry? You meant the examinations in classrooms and things like
that.
We
all knew that.
We knew that.
Well, no, but we see, we've all, as usual, been evading the issue. Now,
Ted, why does your voice go so sexy when you look at attractive people?
Well, because I like you, Mac.
That's it.
And I'm getting...
That's the one.
Yeah. I'm getting very worried about it, too. Yeah. I know it's legal, but it's not compulsory.
Ted, back to the question.
Well, I went in for the school cert, and I made good.
Yeah, what was her name, Ted? You see, you weren't succinct about it.
Succinct about it, no, and I got my examination for the school certificate, which it was in those days. I don't know what they call it now. And I had my papers all finished and completed, and I was out of the room in half an hour. And the master said, "You'll never pass," and I did. I was third in Liverpool. I was third out of four people.
Professor, you have obviously been more closely associated with scholars, I would have thought.
Of course, he's a BF. Well, BA.
He got his FFI and bar.
I've taken a million exams, as a matter of fact. My least successful was when I was young. I got on better later on. My first exam at school, I got -2 in the physics exam. How can I get -2? Because I spelt my name wrong.
I like it.
I don't believe it.
I went on to greater successes later on. I became a BA, and then I became an MA. And, of course, in the Air Force, one was taking exams continuously. But you could always buy the answers from other chaps.
Would you believe?
I mean, the examination system from which this young lady obviously suffers, that's why she's asked the question, the examination system is awful, but it seems to be the only way. How can you test somebody's knowledge without asking them questions?
What do they call those people who sit in front of you
while you're doing this? Invigilators.
Thank you, that's the word.
I've invigilated many times.
Would you like... but you should give it up.
You should occasionally change the trousers as well.
Kerry... Kerry, which of these gentlemen would you like to have as an invigilator?
I think Ted Ray, because the others might make me laugh too much when I looked at them in the exam.
Oh, what a wonderful remark! Ted Ray, the others would make them laugh too much. I like that.
No, love you, love you. How old are you, Kerry?
16.
See me in 5 years' time.
I can remember when I was teaching, I can remember setting a history exam, and the day before, I saw, mind you, I was only 18, and the kids were 12. I saw this boy writing down the answers on a piece of blotting paper. It's the most awful thing I ever did. I got him up the next day and corrected his paper. And it was all yes, 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 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 100. And he stood there. And I said to him, "Well done, Willoughby. Now go and get me your blotting paper." Bottom fell out of his life, poor little devil.
Would you believe this, Kerry? I would have got the matriculation certificate. I failed on one question on general knowledge. And the question was, what are rabies and how do you treat them? And I wrote, "Rabies are Jewish clergymen, and you can't treat them as teetotal."
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Kerry Bryant.
Hey, Baba Bell.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, actor, entertainer, the man with the guitar and the instant calypso, a warm welcome for Lance Percival.
Hiya, Lance.
Welcome, Lance, to the programme. Have a seat. Lance, welcome to the programme. What's your question?
What great historical event would the team most like to have witnessed, and how would they like to have changed things?
What great historical event would the team most like to have witnessed, and how would they like to have changed things?
I'd like to have been there when Arthur Askey bought a drink and Jimmy Edwards refused one.
I would like to have been present at the signing of the contract for this programme, and I would have changed it by twice the money.
Oh, that's gone quiet, hasn't it?
Well, you see, Jim, you can't do a thing like that when you need the work as desperately as you do.
But it was a historical moment when they decided to do, does the team think?
Well, it was, because it is history now. How many years have been going?
It was before radio, anyway.
Before radio?
We used to do it through the town crier. You know? Yeah. Oh, yay, oh, yay, yeah, Ted Ray did say.
Saved by the bell. I'd like to have been there when Isabella sent Columbus to America.
Why?
Well, because, you know, she said there's a great new land over there. You believe it, I believe it, nobody else believes it. And she said, "I want you to go and get some efficient ships." And he went out and he came back and he said, "Any salt and vinegar?"
pretty about the straight line, so they gave the gag away.
I'd love to have been there when Raleigh put his cloak in front of Queen Elizabeth and the fellow in the crowd fainted. It was his tailor. He hadn't paid for it.
Why then, Raleigh wasn't very clever then. He should have put the cloak over the puddle, and as she stepped on it, he should have pulled it away for laughs.
What he should have done, it should have been polythene, actually.
Well, I wish you an old bag.
Lance, can you see these gentlemen as being any great historical creatures of the past?
Well, I consider them all great historical creatures of the past.
Said the boy wonder.
Very honest, very honest.
No, I think... I imagine Cardew as a sort of knight in shining armour in the days of Harold.
Thank you.
I think Arthur would have popped up somewhere in history.
Yeah. Well, probably... Prince Arthur, the Knight of the Round Table.
Yes.
King Arthur.
The little
Prince
king.
Arthur was strangled in
Prince
the
Prince Arthur had his eyes put out.
Who did he?
By King John.
Anything for a laugh. Yeah.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Lance Percival. Thank you very much. And now, team, here comes a question from Mrs. June Bach. Mrs. Bach, welcome to the programme. Your question.
Welcome, Bach.
Does the team approve of husbands helping their wife with the household chores and looking after children?
Does the team approve of husbands helping the wife with the household chores and looking after the children?
This is true. I mean, we have a daily help. She comes along a couple of times a week and does the rough work.
And shouts out, help.
Help, I
But my wife is the busiest woman you ever saw. And sometimes I say to her, you know, Sybil, I call her that because that's her name. Otherwise she wouldn't answer if I said Fred, you know. I worked that out years ago. And I say to her, can I help you with something? And she says, yes, dear, stay out of the way. But I do, around the house, I do help my wife. I wash the floors with her, wipe the floor.
I don't get in the way, you see, Ted. I can do the... I can dust under the table and under the settee and
get
I'm in nobody's
the fridge
way.
And clean it.
Whereas Cardew's frightfully good at those awful ledges high up that you can't dust.
So, Jim, what do you do about the house?
Well, I couldn't really describe it in front of this audience.
What do you do when you trip over the bottles every morning, you know?
Well, you see, I'm lucky that I've told you before on this programme that I live on the 14th floor of a block of flats, and there's a marvellous little thing called a chute.
Oh, yes.
And you shove everything down that.
Everything?
Everything you don't want goes down the chute. And
like
I...
the trombone and the euphonium.
No,
a couple of blondes.
I want them.
He stuck me down one day. Yes. It's hell of a drop at the end, Jim.
Good night, Arthur. Down the chute he went.
Yeah. Well, I said to my wife one day, I said, really, you are too busy, Sybil. Can I do something for you? She said, well, go upstairs and make the bed. So I got a hammer, some nails and a saw.
These you have loved. I think a fella should help his wife. I mean, ask the ladies in the audience.
The ladies in the audience don't
agree.
Will
you let your husbands help you with the chores?
No.
Yes. No, you lazy lot. What the hell are you doing here? You should be an honest man.
I'm very, very interested to know Jimmy's opinion of women. I've never heard it before, but I know I heard two fellas in a pub talking, and one fella said, I call my wife Cuddles. He said, that's nice. Why do you call her Cuddles? Well, he said, in the morning, she gives me a cuddle. And at lunchtime, she gives me a cuddle. I go out to work, gives me a cuddle. When I come home, gives me a cuddle. Oh, I call her Cuddles. The fella said, that's funny. I call my wife Treasure. He says, why do you do that? He said, well, when I take her in a pub, somebody says to me, where'd you dig that up?
I like the fella comes home very late one night, goes into the wife's bedroom, and she said, oh, I'm glad you've at last come home. We've had a burglar. So he said, did he get anything? She said, I say he did. I thought it was you.
What a terrible woman.
What I think is so wonderful is the way women try to foster this illusion that all the stuff they're doing at the home is difficult and arduous. Any idiot could keep a house going in 5 minutes, but they moan about how, ooh, I've been up all day doing the housework. Moan, and it's all so modernised and easy today that any idiot could do it.
Well, you're wrong, because you see, now you are living by yourself there, and it's all right for you, you don't care. But have you been to Jimmy's house? It took me 3 days to find a chair.
He's thrown it down the chute. Miss Bach, I think some wives do go too far. You know, I know one wife, every weekend, they throw a coin. Now, if it's heads, the husband takes the baby for a walk. If it's tails, he does the garden. If it stands on its edge, it can go to a football match.
Well, I know a man who's so henpecked in his kitchen, he's got two towels, two dish towels, and they're both marked his and his.
That's a terrible thing.
And there's another part of this question about looking after the children. Definitely a woman's job. She had them, she'd got to look after them.
But you started the idea.
Well, sometimes, of course, they go out to dinner. I love the story about the fellow goes out with his wife, and as soon as the food arrives, she dives straight in, takes one mouthful and drops dead. The fellow looks at the body and he turns to the waiter and says, "Give my compliments to the chef."
That's very cruel, isn't it?
It's macabre.
Not many children of your own, Mrs. Bark.
I have three children.
Three children.
Are they Barkwood children?
I'll tell you what, her bark is worse than her bite.
And do you
just kill her payoff.
Does your husband help to look after them?
He does.
Does he help you around the house?
Yes.
Then why don't you stop drinking?
Thank you, Tim, very much, and thank you very much, Mrs. Bark. Thank you. And team, here is a question from Mr. Jack Jennings. Hello, Mr. Jennings. Your question, please.
If the members of the team were Red Indian Chiefs, what would they consider would be suitable names?
If the members of the team were Red Indian Chiefs, what would they consider would be suitable names?
Well, now you're in my happy hunting ground, because this is one of my hobbies. I've been keen on Red Indians all my life. Now,
oh, sorry.
I'm going to tell you. There are three very...
That's Arthur Ashley with what used to be a soprano voice.
There are three very famous chiefs, Rain in the Face, Sitting Bull and Little Big Man. Now, you've only got to paraphrase, and you've got three of this team. There's Mane on the Face, Speaking Bull and Little Big Bumps.
I would think that your name would be Chief Totem Pole of Dog Splash. Arthur would be Standing Bull, because if he sat down, you wouldn't see him. And Jim will be Lord Polo of Minty Hole.
No, I should think Jim would be the chief who speaks with forked tongue.
The what he
forked.
Does. Or forked.
And he had a plate of ham, yeah. Right?
No, he'd be laughing whiskey.
Well, you've heard of Hiawatha. I think they'd have called me Lower Watha.
Oh,
there you are. That got a mini ha-ha.
Oh, Hiawatha afraid of that.
Well, this chief was sitting by the side of the stream, the Minnetonka. The Minnetonka, with his brave, young brave. You know, the braves only have one feather. This had none, too. Arthur's giving a demonstration of me with a feather.
No, I'm saying that to you again.
Oh, thank you.
And they fish.
Tony's sticking it in the wrong place.
As far as I'm concerned, I refuse to allow him to stick it in the other place. Wherever that is. And there he was, this chief, with this young brave, and they were fishing, as they do, you know, because these Indians have to provide food for themselves.
Of course they do, yes.
And they're a vanishing race, too, you know, like car park attendants. And there he was fishing, and finally he landed the most gigantic, the most beautiful mermaid. Her vital measurements were 36, 24, and 15 pence a pound. Gorgeous she was, and he threw it back, and the young brave said, "Why?" And the chief said, "How?"
Ah. Well, it's like the Red Indian chief who came to London for the first time and stayed at the Savoy, and the central heating made him very thirsty, so he sent his squaw to get some water. So she brought him a glass of water, he drank it. Then about 10 minutes later, he said, "Go get me some more water." So she went and got him some more water. This went on about a dozen times. Eventually, he sent her again, and she came back with an empty glass. He said, "Where water?" She said, "Cannot get. White man sit on well."
Of course, they got wonderful memories, you know, these Indians, Mr.
Jennings.
Marvellous memories. A fellow was fishing with an Indian once. He saw him fishing and he said, "You like fish?" And the Indian went, "Ugh." 10 years later, he said, "How?" He said, "Fried."
And he was dealt with clemency.
Mr. Jennings, yeah. Although they haven't given you probably the answer you expected, have you got an answer for your own question?
I think I'd call Jimmy Edwards Chief Bulk Container, because he... because he can hold an enormous quantity of liquor.
Chief Bulk Container, like it.
Arthur Askey I'd call Keith Ching of Trumps, because he's big-hearted. Ted Ray Chief Gatgut, because he's often on the fiddle. And Cardew, because of his exceptional good looks and features, I'd call him Chief Striking Clock.
And because of Cardew's good looks, you ought to be called Chief Meesnosy Optician.
I've got a good one for you now. A monologue, what I wrote years ago, one verse said, "Last evening on the prairie, I met an Indian maid called Prairie Rose. She said she was the daughter of the big chief Cloudy Water. And her husband was a brave called Running Nose.
Thank you, team, very much. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askin, Cloudy Robinson, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and, of course, our special guest, Lance Purcell. This is MacDonald Hopley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.